former NFL head coach, current outstanding author, both adult and children reading, and I'll ask him about that in a second. But you know him probably best these days from Sunday Night Football, Night in America, Sunday Night Football on NBC. Analyst Tony Dungy joins us here on The Fan. Tony, Jody Mack and Gary Myers here. How you doing, bud?
Hey, doing well, guys. Good to be with you.
Hey, Tony, you forgot Super Bowl champion and Hall of Famer.
Oh, how do I leave out Hall of Famer? Shame on me for that. I'm more worried about the kids' books. But again, we'll get to that in a second.
So, Tony, here's where I want to start. You have the Cowboys tomorrow night, and so much has been made about Jerry Jones as the general manager and how they haven't been in the Super Bowl for the last 20 years. When you were a head coach, you had Rich McKay, and then in Indianapolis, you had Rich McKay in Tampa, and you had Bill Polian in Indianapolis. How important was it for you to have a really solid general manager like you had in both of those spots?
Oh, that was absolutely critical for me, Gary. I wanted to coach the team and direct them on the field, and definitely needed that help and that long-term look off the field. And both of those guys were sensational. Rich and Bill were just very good listeners. They understood what I wanted in terms of players. We were on the same page, the types of guys we wanted, and it was absolutely a perfect marriage. Rich McKay, some of the drafts we had early on to get things going, Ward Dunn, Mike Allstott, Rondé Barber, you know, those type of guys. That's what makes you. And then I got to Indianapolis, and the offense was pretty much in place, but defensively, you know, Bill said, what does it take in your defense? What kind of guys are you looking for? And pretty soon we've got Dwight Freeney and Bob Sanders and Cato June and Robert Mathis, these undersized, fast, quick guys that I wanted. And they had the key on the long-term vision and couldn't have been a better match for me.
Tony, how much of you do you look at the structure in Dallas as being the problem there?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily the structure, but I think it's the vision. And I know they seem to always want to hit the home run. They want to get the big name people, high profile. And sometimes that's not necessarily what you need. Dak Prescott being a good example. You know, he was a fourth round pick, a little bit under the radar, and came in and ended up being just what they wanted. When they had that going in the offensive line and kind of a just excitable, quick, fast defense. That's when they were at their best. But they seem to look for those big-name players, and they want to be high-profile. And I don't know if that's always the best way to go.
I'm going to ask you to go a little bit more in-depth. Dak Prescott had the outstanding rookie year, came back down to earth a little bit last year, and is middling to mediocre to middle of the pack this year. Which is the real Dak Prescott?
Well, I think the real Dak Prescott depends on the team that's around him. And that first year, they had the best offensive line in football by far, and those guys were a dominant group. And then you had Ezekiel Elliott, and everybody played them to stop the run. And when you did stop the run and load up and bring your safeties down, which you had to do, now you had a tight end who could beat one-on-one coverage by just about anybody who was covering him in the middle of the field, and Witten. And then you had Dez Bryant playing exceptional football on the outside, beating one-on-one coverage there. So it was a perfect formula. And you had a good defense that was solid, and if you didn't turn the ball over, they were going to play well. Well, now the offensive line is not quite as good. The Travis Frederick injury really hurt them. The tackles aren't playing as well as they did. So it's a good line, not the best, and therefore Elliott is still a very good back, but he's not the 120 to 150-yard rusher week in and week out. People aren't coming in saying, hey, we've got to stop him in order to win. And you don't have getting truly one-on-one coverage now. It puts it on the quarterback to do a lot more. And Dak has had to do more, and he's still learning the position. I think he's still a very good quarterback. I would want him to quarterback my team. The rest of the group are
I think we've lost.
Might have lost our contact. Go ahead, Tom.
Can you guys I can hear you well.
Move back to the spot you were originally, Tony.
Okay. I can hear you well. I was saying that I think Dak Prescott is still very good. I just don't think they have as good a team around him, and that to me is the difference. The offensive line is not playing as well. Travis Frederick is a big loss. Jason Witten is a big loss. Dez Bryant, they haven't replaced that. So now you're asking Prescott to do a lot more than he had to do that first year or even the second year.
Tony, you had the Giants the second week of the season, and thank goodness for NBC, you don't have them again the rest of the year. And if they did, I'm certainly they'd be flexed out. But when you look at the Giants and where they're at right now, does the whole thing just have to be torn apart? What's your evaluation of Eli Manning? I know you spent a lot of years with his brother. Where do the Giants go from here?
I think they really have to take a serious look and say, can we be a contender in this NFC East with the group we have right now? They obviously made that decision. They thought they could. They stuck with Eli. And I thought it was the right call at the time. Drafting Saquon Barkley, I thought he would do for them what Elliott did for the Cowboys. And I thought they were close. But it does appear that there are a ways farther away than I thought. And I think the right thing to do would be to move on and say, let's build from the beginning. Let's get what we can get for some of these veteran guys because they don't appear to be that close right now.
Was that just a bad miscalculation on their part? I mean, I know you said you agreed with it, but it seems to turn this into a wasted year.
I guess you have to take that chance. I thought they would be close. I thought their defense would keep them in games. I thought their offensive line would be better, and they would have this kind of dominant running game with Barkley. And then I thought Eli would play great football. But without that, and Barkley has been very good. He's been everything that they thought. But there aren't the big holes for him. They haven't forced people to really play eight defenders up there to stop him. So I think they kind of missed it on their offensive line. And then their defense wasn't as dominant as I thought they would be. So I think it was a miscalculation, but it's one I would have faced.
Tony Dungy, analyst for Football Night in America, NBC Sunday Night Coverage, here with us on The Fan. You've seen plenty of Pat Mahomes. As a former defensive-minded coach, you at some point had to try and figure out how to defend guys like Pat Mahomes. If someone coming up on the Chiefs' schedule said, Tony, you're breaking down tape on this kid. I haven't figured it out. I don't know how to stop him. What would be your first suggestion?
I love Patrick Mahomes. I love the way he's playing, and Coach Reed has done a great job of playing to his strength. For me, if I was trying to defend them, they've got a lot of weaponry. They love the big plays, especially at home. They want to get the crowd energized. So I would play very conservative against them. Make them run the ball. Make them go underneath. They're certainly capable of doing that. But I would try to make them have 10 to 12 play drives and test their patience. They seem to look for the big plays. They want that 40-yard strike. And that would be my theory playing against them. But I love what they do. They don't seem to care who gets the ball, who makes the big play. Mahomes is very accurate. He's able to process a high volume of plays for a young guy. So I think the sky's the limit for him.
Tony, you haven't had the Jets this year, so I assume you maybe haven't been paying special attention to Sam Darnold, who will not play tomorrow against the Bills. But from what you have seen, is it about what you would have expected for a 21-year-old kid?
It is. And I think they're doing the right thing with Sam Darnold. I did not understand the Cleveland Browns not playing Baker Mayfield at the beginning of the year. The Jets obviously think Darnold is their quarterback of the future. I was all for putting him in, let him take his lumps, just like Peyton Manning did. Peyton Manning set a record for throwing interceptions his rookie year. They were 3-13, even with Marshall Faulk and Marvin Harrison and Ken Dahlgren, some really good talent on offense. But Peyton learned a lot that year, and he processed it, and he was mentally tough enough to take the tough year. And I think Sam's going to be the same way. He's going to have some great moments, which he has had. He's going to have a lot of learning moments, but I think it's going to benefit them in the long run. And I think he is mentally tough enough to withstand it and go through it.
Tony, in 6 or 7 weeks, who's the last team standing in what's been a very mediocre NFC East?
You know what? I think a lot will be determined tomorrow night in our game, for sure. I'm not a big Washington fan. I don't think they have enough explosiveness on offense. I don't think they're great on defense. I think it's going to be Philadelphia, But I'm not excited about their defense right now. Their defense made a ton of plays for them last year. They made the big momentum-changing plays. Haven't seen that this year. Losing LeGarrette Blount and then Jay Ajayi getting hurt, they haven't had that big hammer running attack either. So I think they've got to find that. Their defense has to find some big plays, and they've got to get their running going. But I think if they win tomorrow, to me, that would put them, I think, as the favorites in the East. Now, if they lose, it's totally up in the air. I don't know who to go to then.
Tony, there's no doubt in my mind that you retired at the same at the right time before they changed all the rules and don't let defenses play defense anymore.
But, it's tough.
Last year, the Super Bowl was 41-33. I think the NFL will be very happy. You know, if it's the Saints or the Rams against the Chiefs or the Patriots, and it's 49-45. But there's been so many games this year where the scores are in the 40s and on track to have a bunch of quarterbacks throw for 5,000 yards. If you were still coaching today, what would you do? I mean, it appears that, you know, you breathe on a quarterback, you get a 15-yard flag. You can't even touch a receiver after 5 yards without getting a defensive holding. Pass interference calls the flags get thrown, it seems like, on every long play. What do you do to combat this?
All of those are problems, but I'll tell you, even from talking to the coaches that I know that are still in it, even more of a problem is the off-season program and training camp. I don't think you get to practice enough. The fundamentals I see are so poor on defense now because I don't think they get to really practice. And that, to me, is the biggest issue. I think you have to be able to have contact in practice to get things fixed. And the quarterbacks, you know, now they can go to Duke or Phoenix, Arizona, and call all their receivers and running backs and say, hey, we're going to be out here and throw for 2 weeks. And they basically can get their timing down and throw and have all the work they need to get their passing game going. But as a defense, you can't do that. You know, a middle linebacker can't say, hey, all you defensive guys come down here and we're going to work on our stuff for 2 weeks because you need an offense to go against. And I think that's why the defenses are behind. And then during the regular season, you can't practice enough to catch up. So I do think this is kind of what the NFL wants, and it makes it exciting for the offenses. But I said a couple of weeks ago on our show, maybe John Gruden had the right idea. Trade your defensive guys, load up on offense, draft the best offensive players you can get, and try to be a 50-point offense, and maybe that's how you're going to win this next decade here in the NFL.
Very interesting take. All right, Tony, last thing. Last time I had a chance to talk to you was back in the summer when you were good enough to come in studio here in the Fan, and you brought your better half, which I truly appreciated because as a guy who outkicked his coverage, anybody else who did the same, meeting your wife, I can say that, as good a win as
Amen.
He's gotten.
I think he was giving you a compliment there, Tony.
Both he and his wife. You came in to promote, at least in part, the children's books, the series you were starting with the wife. How's that going for you?
It's going really well. The response has been good. My wife and I have started a series. They're called Team Dungy Books. She and I are coaches on athletic teams, flag football teams, youth soccer, and we're kind of teaching life lessons through sports. And it's been great. We've got two more books that are going to come out in the spring. And the response has been awesome. So thank you. And you know, we had a lot of fun coming in there and talking about our books, for sure.
It was our pleasure, and it was our pleasure to talk to you again today, Coach. Thanks for hopping on board. We'll be watching tomorrow night.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Tony Dungy, football analyst for Football Night in America, here with us on The Fan.